Thank you so much for coming. My name is Carl Anderson. I'm the campus organizer for MontPerc here in Bozeman. How many of you all are familiar with our organization? All right. Well, real quick, primarily, we're an organization that seeks to empower the leaders of tomorrow through mentorship in civic engagement and political action. We also organize support for issues pertaining to environment, consumer rights, voting rights, and accessibility to higher education. This summer, we have decided to throw ourselves behind the fight to protect Badger 2 medicine, which is an area outside of Glacier National Park and the Blackfeet Reservation. There are many who have been fighting to keep oil and gas development out of Badger 2 medicine for the past 40 years, and we hope to put this issue to bed once and for all and protect this place for generations to come. So far this summer, MontPerc has knocked on thousands of doors in Bozeman, Helena, Kalispell, Missoula, and Whitefish, and we are headed to Billings and Great Falls in the coming weeks to make sure as many Montanans' voices are heard by Senator Daines and the Trump administration, letting them know that we would like Badger 2 medicine protected. We know we can be successful in this effort because in 2017, we got Ryan Zinke. We prevented Ryan Zinke from selling off parts of the Upper Missouri River breaks. We have with us today a few individuals who are quite familiar with the history and significance of the area. We have MJ DeRozier. MJ, give a little wave. MJ is a student at U of M. He studies philosophy and environmental studies, and he is a descendant of the Blackfeet Nation. Next, we have Joe Offer. Joe is the Central Montana Field Director at Montana Wilderness Association. And lastly, we have Michael LaValle, and he is the Native American liaison for Senator Tester, and he is Blackfeet and Gravon. I tried. but without further ado, I'd like to hand the mic over to MJ.
Thank you, Carl, for organizing this. Okay, next up, guys. Get 6 months in the hoop. No, six to go. It's done. Go, come on, walk him. Can you talk to? I'm scabby. Pickani, guys. Ki, it's a big guys. Ki, 6 months. Itak. Get to. No, six to go. I'd just like to thank you all, not just for coming out tonight, but also in joining in our efforts in defending this Badger Creek to Medicine area. Some of you, I'm sure, have been involved for a while, and so I shouldn't have to describe how beautiful the area is or how pristine the area is, but really I feel compelled to tell you how sacred the area is. And I think its sacredness is evidenced in its name alone, Natu Kiukasin. This is referring to two medicine lodges being built simultaneously in the area when normally there's only one. And, you know, we felt a calling to build those two. But, I mean, with that being said, it makes me wonder, like, what exactly does it mean for something to be sacred? And I think what it means, at least in part, is to have a reciprocal relationship with something and have a personal experience with that relationship. And, you know, if the area is exploited for things like oil and natural gas, I feel that some of that sacred value will kind of diminish because we wouldn't be giving back anymore and we would only be taking. And, you know, also it makes one ask, if the area is so sacred to the Blackfeet tribe, then why isn't it on the Blackfeet Reservation? And, you know, to answer that, we kind of need to understand the timeline and leading up to the events of ceding it to the U.S. government. And it wasn't long after, you know, the Baker Massacre, also known as the Marias River Massacre, for which I am a direct descendant of a survivor of that. And not long after that was what's called Starvation Winter of 1882 and 1883. And, you know, this is when the bison were nearly hunted to complete eradication or extinction. And we had no choice but to cede off some of our most sacred lands, like the Badger 2 Medicine in the 1896 agreement. But we still maintain use rights in the area. And, of course, we're still fighting these illegal oil and gas leases. And not only is it the Blackfeet tribe that feel that it is so sacred now, but it's also the Council on Historic Preservation has labeled the area too sacred to drill. So now it's it's more than just us fighting for this area. And not to mention, it's also been labeled a cultural historic district by the Historic Preservation Act. But historically, we've used the area for many things. And for one, it's part of a larger watershed which feeds into the Marias River, which has been and is still a major source of a sustenance and water for, you know, the Blackfeet people. But in 2006, the Blackfeet tribe was issued a research grant to gain a modern insight as to what made the area so special and what it was all utilized for. And this is to kind of gain an evidence base for a case in defending the area. And excuse me while I look at my notes, but they found that the area was home to 16 prominent landmarks, 16 activities. It was a prime habitat and ecosystem for 52 animal species, 65 plants and medicines, and 14 fossils and minerals. And bear in mind, no pun intended, but out of those 52 animal species, 5 of them are federally threatened. And I'll let Joe speak more on that topic, but this is kind of where that reciprocity comes in, because we have an obligation, a moral obligation, to defend those animal species from literally going extinct, in part. But at this time, you know, I would like to kind of acknowledge the groups and the people who have been involved in this fight for some of them longer than I've even been alive. These are groups like the Piikani Traditionalists, the Badger Creek Two Medicine Alliance, the Blackfeet Headwaters Alliance, and even Earth Justice. And then, of course, individuals like John Murray, who was a prominent Blackfeet elder, Woody Wolverine, my uncle Edward DeRosier, and Kendall Edmo, who technically I'm speaking in her place. You know, her schedule didn't match up, but, you know, because otherwise I recognize it'll be all men sharing the stage just out of sheer chance. But, and then also I would like to share kind of some personal stories with the area. And the first for me came about 4 years ago. And this is a couple years after I had gotten out of the Marine Corps, and it was kind of a transitional period to me. And, you know, I was kind of just lost. And although I'm not a combat veteran and I would never want to compare my experience to those that are, I still felt like I needed to heal from that experience, and I knew of no better place to go than the Badger 2 Medicine. And so one day I just went up on a hike, simple hike, and I reached one of those prominent landmarks that I had aforementioned. And I, you know, I sat there and sat there. And then finally it kind of dawned on me that in that moment I was literally part of that ecosystem, just like my ancestors always had been. And it was a very powerful experience, very healing. The second story came just last weekend when me and my cousin Mike LaValle, who will be speaking on Senate Resolution 250 to protect the area in perpetuity, again, we just went on another simple hike in the Badger 2 Medicine. And, you know, we kind of stopped to take everything in, and I looked up to when the sky meets the mountains, what we call the Mistakis, or the backbone of the world, to where the mountains meet the plains and the plains meet the forests. And then I looked down to my shirt. It's actually the same shirt I'm wearing today. I promised I've washed it since then. But it has something very simple on it, and it says, "What does it mean to be Piikani?" And if you don't know, I'm Scott Piikani. This is the southern band of the overall Blackfeet Confederacy tribe. Well, this is one thing that it means to be Piikani. It's to defend areas like this. One fallacy I see in the environmentalist community is demonizing those that work in extractive industries. You know, personally, I'm not totally against all extractive industries. After all, you know, solar panels and wind turbines, things like that, those also come from mining resources, but they're renewable. And from my experience, the majority of the people who work in those industries are just working class people trying to secure a job. And, you know, that's one of those reoccurring promises that we're always promised with these endeavors is jobs, even though very few of those are permanent jobs. And, you know, therefore, only very few of them are even local. A lot of those are outsourced to people who have no connection to the land. To them, you know, this would no longer be Natuk Yukasin or Misinski Sasachtai. It's just drill site number X. But, I mean, even my father retired from the gas industry. But this was long before all the scientific research that's being talked about daily regarding climate change. Which kind of brings me to my next point, that science is nonpartisan. And I think the age of denying climate change is over. And it's up to us to change that dialogue. But there's one thing I can say for certain. It's that indigenous people, not just Native Americans, but all indigenous people in general, knew that we were literally part of the ecosystem, like the awakening I had that day. And that's one thing that's missing in Western thought. And again, it's up to us to change that, because that was later substantiated by, you know, great scientific minds like Rachel Carson, that we are literally part of the ecosystem, no matter how much we try to divide ourselves from it. But, you know, in closing, I would like to say that I would be lying if I said we weren't also here to fundraise. And if you know, if you look around at your tables, you'll see some contribution forms. And if you choose to contribute, this will help our efforts, because I've literally seen that money become gas money for us to travel around the state. And if you choose to contribute, you know, choose something that makes you feel good. Choose something that you feel will help us in defending Natu Kiukasin, Badger 2 Medicine Area. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Hey, that's going to be a tough act to follow, especially being a community organizer tasked with being a biologist. I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about the ecological importance of the badger, and hopefully won't bore you guys too much with that. But to understand the badger in an ecological sense, you have to understand its geographic setting. And the badger is on the eastern side of the Rocky Mountain Front, surrounded by protected lands. It's the North Glacier National Park, to the west, the Great Bear and Bob Marshall Wildernesses, Wilderness. And then to the east, the Blackfoot Reservation. and this area is so special because it's the convergence of prairie landscapes to the east and the mountainous regions to the west. And when you have these two different ecosystems, very different ecosystems, meeting together, you get very unique ecosystems between those two. And in biology, we think of those protected areas as kind of the core spaces, which are extremely important for a lot of species, and in this case, a lot of very important endangered and protected species, like MJ mentioned before. But then on top of that, the edge ecosystems are actually the most important pieces to make sure that those whole core ecosystems function as they should. And in the case of the badger is an edge ecosystem that has multiple pieces that fit together that provide homes, food, refugia for all sorts of animals. And so in this case, it's the prairie and the mountains meeting, and so you have the convergence, and you have prairie potholes mixed in with rolling hills, mixed in with mountains, mixed in with grasslands. And because of that, the badger has a large, large number of wildlife species that are not seen in many areas all together as one. A great example is the grizzly bear, and actually as we know, the grizzly bear is a very important species for Montana and the Blackfeet tribe, and a big part of the culture for everyone here. And this is actually one of the highest densities of grizzly bear in the area, is actually in the Badger 2 Medicine, because of this unique ecosystem. It allows them to find a significant place to be year-round, or I guess summer-round, while they're not hibernating. Excuse me. This is actually one of the most productive sites for cubs as well. So for grizzly bears, the badger is extremely, extremely important. Along with that, there's wolverines, wolves, moose, elk, deer, all sorts of ungulates, as well as the cutthroat trout, the West Slope cutthroat trout, our state fish. And especially for elk and the deer and the other ungulates, the badger is extremely important. It provides winter range, because it is a lower elevation area as compared to the mountainous regions to the north and to the west. And therefore, the deer and the elk are able to find this area and find water throughout the rough winter months. And so because of that, we've actually seen over the last couple of years elk being found on the Blackfeet Reservation in spots that they haven't been found before, which is pretty amazing. And a lot of that has to do with the badger and its protection. Without that protection, the elk may not have that wintering area and therefore may not be able to expand their range like they have been. And then the last piece I want to talk about is connectivity. And connectivity is a big part, kind of like talking about core and edge habitats. Connectivity is extremely important for whole ecosystem health. And in this case, the connectivity is provided by these lower lands that are surrounded by the mountainous regions of the prairie. And in this area, There's a very unique ease of movement for all animal species that are coming through, and it provides a connection from the crown of the continent heading down along the east side of the Rocky Mountain front all the way down to Yellowstone and all the pieces in between there. And this is actually very important, again, thinking about grizzly bears. We think about grizzly bears. Grizzly bears have been found trying to reclaim their range on the plains, and actually a lot of them heading out on riparian zones such as the Badger or Two Medicine River or the Teton River a little bit further south. And so, again, obviously, as MJ hit on, there's extremely important cultural pieces, and the ecological aspects are only one small part of why this area is so important. But thank you for your time. I'm going to turn this over to Michael LaValle from Senator Tesser's office. Thank you.
Okiniksukuex, nistu nitani ku pitasua, nimochtu tuamskapi pikani ki atsina. Hello, everyone. My name is Michael LaValle. I'm Blackfeet in Grovant. I work for Senator Tester in Great Falls. I'm his state tribal liaison. And so Senator Tester was invited to share some words as far as some of the work he's doing on this issue, which really goes back several years. And most recently, what MJ had mentioned, Senate Resolution 250, which is just introduced last month, would hold the government accountable to the original agreements that it had made to the Blackfeet tribe under previous Secretary Zinke. As you know, there's a new Secretary of Interior now who reversed course on the tribe in fighting to defend the last two leases left in the area that, as we've heard, has so much significance to not only us as Blackfeet, but also to all of Montana. So I do have some remarks here, but I just want to reiterate what my brother and what my cousin mentioned about the area. And we only got scared one time. We only got scared one time. We were hiking around, and MJ was leading the way, and he kind of jumped back, oh, like that. And I was like, what is it, bro? Is it a badger? And he says, no, badger. Why are you scared of a badger? Badger, they're not going to hurt you. He's like, it was a snake. He's like, I'm scared of snakes. You're not scared of snakes? So it was a good experience. It was a lot of fun. Unforgettable, really. And one of the first times I had ever been to the area. And you really feel the power and connection you have, not only as an indigenous person, but any person enjoying the area. So I will go ahead and read the remarks from Tester now. The senator says, good evening. Thank you for inviting me to be here. I'd especially like to thank Carl Anderson and Mont Perg for organizing this event, and the Blackfeet tribe for their steadfast partnership in this important endeavor. We're all here to raise awareness for an important cause. I know you all feel as strongly as I do that the Badger 2 medicine must be protected. In addition to its ecological importance and scenic beauty, the Badger 2 medicine is sacred land that has been cared for by the Blackfeet Nation for generations. I'm appalled that the administration would go back on its word and reinstate the leases it had promised to remove. Please know that I'm working hard to make sure this sacred land is protected. I recently escalated our efforts to protect this land with a Senate resolution taking the Department of the Interior to task and holding them to account for not defending the cancellation of the Moncrief lease. I'm going to raise hell until we get this resolution through the Senate and hold the Interior Department accountable for their abdication of responsibility in one of the most iconic wild areas in this country. But I can't do it without your help, so keep calling and writing and working to make sure we get this done. Together we'll make sure the department listens to the opinions of the Blackfeet Nation and all Montanans and removes the remaining oil leases in the Badger 2 Med. Thank you for inviting me to be here and for your hard work. Please keep in touch and keep fighting, Senator Tester. So, thank you.
We'd like to take a second, and if anybody has any questions specifically for any of our presenters, now is the time. Yes?
Oh, way better. I was just hoping you could elaborate a little bit on the two leases that were sort of greenlit, in a sense, and what that ultimately means. Like, what is it that they're proposing, and what are the tangible steps that would help sort of mitigate that other than legal action?
Michael, want to field that one?
Sorry. So I think contacting your representatives to let them know that you support Senate Resolution 250 really goes a long way. The fact that it is tied up in court outside of that, I don't know that there's much else that you could do. But just a little bit of background on it, I think 47 leases initially is what was existing in the area. And MJ and I were talking about the timeline. In early 2017, there were several leases that were voluntarily relinquished by Devon Energy Corporation, which just left two. And Solenex LLC and Moncrief are the two existing leases left in the area. One has been appealed by the Department of the Interior. To step back, in 2018, a judge ruled in their favor to keep them in place. So the Department of the Interior appealed one, the Solenex lease, but did not appeal the Moncrief lease. So that's the one remaining. And so this Senate resolution basically calls out the United States Senate and the federal government for reversing course on the decision. Initially, that was told and negotiated with the Blackfeet Tribal leadership that they would be defended in court regardless. So I think contacting your representatives to let them know that this is important.
Anybody else? Yeah?
Wasn't Earth Justice the firm that was petitioned against the leases, I think, wasn't it?
I don't know if he has an answer to that question, unfortunately. Oh, he's got. All right, Joe.
Yeah, there's actually a coalition of groups that are actually represented by Earth Justice that are currently housing that appeal in the Court of Appeals as well. So a big group of Montana nonprofits as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. Any further questions? Yeah?
I know there was an initiative from the Blackfeet tribe to return bison to the Badger to Madison, and I was curious what, if any, progress there's been with that.
That's a great question. That's kind of an overall effort, I think, on behalf of all tribes, is to restore bison to their homelands, the Blackfeet being no exception, especially to this area. Yes, it is something that they're working on. I don't think that there's been any update, at least not to my knowledge.
Thank you, Michael.
I'd be curious to hear more about what makes the Badger to Medicine area particularly critical to grizzly bear populations and other endangered or threatened species. Like, how is it different from other areas on the Rocky Mountain front where the plains meet the mountains as well?
Yeah,
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the most important piece of it is, as I mentioned, so much of the mountainous areas was actually not the original homeland for grizzly bears. I mean, they certainly were there, but they were kind of spread all over. These rolling plains, as I mentioned before, it has some of the highest densities of grizzly bears. And a lot of that has to do with the productivity of the area as compared to mountainous areas that are extremely, I guess, kind of rugged and hard to live in all aspects of. And these rolling hills and more wide valleys with a little bit more productivity, it's a bit easier. I mean, as that's the reason why we're in a valley here instead of on top of Bridger. Has to do with just kind of the productivity of the ecosystems within that area. And it has to do primarily, as I mentioned, kind of the convergence of different ecosystems. So,
thank you, Joe. All right, folks, thank you so much for your questions. I'm going to hand the mic over to Hunter, our deputy director, to say a few final words.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you all for coming out and being here tonight. I know it's not always the easiest thing to make it out on a Thursday evening to learn about conservation issues. So for those of you that were familiar with Badger 2 Medicine and the issues going on there, thank you for supporting that fight for as long as you have. And for those of you that weren't familiar with the issue, thank you for sitting here and learning something today. So again, as MJ mentioned, as Carl's mentioned, our team was going out this summer to knock doors all across the state of Montana. We've knocked doors in Kalispell, Whitefish, Bozeman, Missoula, Helena. We have a team right now out in Missoula and a team right now out in Helena. We're going to be heading to Billings. We're going to be heading to Great Falls. And our goal is to knock around 25,000 doors all across Montana, collect around 3,500 signatures from Montanans that want to tell Steve Daines and Secretary Bernhardt that we need to protect Badger 2 medicine in perpetuity. And with that, as you all know, we're a nonprofit organization. We're a student-led organization, and we need all the support we can get to continue out there and knock doors and make this effort known. So, again, thank you so much. Yeah.